Well, Cecilia Matheny joins the show now. Welcome, Cecilia.
Thank you.
We're talking because you're getting ready to start a new class at CMC. Is that in Carbondale?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
There. Yes. I just got out here in March. I accidentally ran into someone on the street. I didn't hurt them. And they were near CMC here in Carbondale. And I said, do you know whom I should contact? And she gave me the name, and it was Marianne Ackerman. I sent an email, got in touch with her, met with her, made a suggestion for some fashion classes, and specifically textiles.
So tell me what the class involves. What will people learn when they go to this class?
They will learn about why they are not naked, why they are wearing clothes, and what are the fabrics they're wearing. And it's going to go in 3 series, which is 9 classes, starting October the 12th. And the first 3 classes are how you make a fabric. The second 3 are how to identify a fabric. Like when you go in a store, should I buy this or should I buy that? Is this good for the planet or isn't it? Or why should I care? Or do I care? And then the last 3 classes, we're going to go on a visual digital tour of Colorado and look at some of the different fashion companies and what kind of fabric do they use to make their product, or if they're a buyer, put in their store.
Wow, that's a pretty broad topic. You have to tell me why people are not naked.
Why they aren't making clothes?
No, why they are not naked. Isn't that what you said, that people will learn why
they aren't naked, yes.
Yes. So you have to tell me why people aren't naked.
Basically, we're a very hopefully nice animal, and like most animals, we need protection, and we don't have any feathers or fur.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's because we... in evolution, we have the ability to sweat, and other animals in the kingdom don't sweat.
That's interesting. So are you telling me that Neolithic man was a fashion designer?
Yes, they did fashion design even back then. I have a National Geographic photograph of the first shoe.
Really? What was it made of? Was it made of leather?
Yes, it was made of a skin with twine, probably from some kind of vine or tree. And even before that, the first fabric made was felt, and that's simply because they put together animal dung, straw, mud, water, and patted it down, compressed it, which made it a non-woven fabric, and they put strings around it and put it on their feet.
Huh.
And when they learn to group hunt, then you get into skin. And, of course, that's enhanced by fire.
You mean, I don't understand.
Well, they could eat the animal, and they could use the skin to cover their body.
Oh, I see. I see. Wow, there's a lot there to unpack. I guess one of the things that's interesting to me about fashion is that it's so alien to my life. I mean, I'm a sweatpants kind of guy. I've never understood this.
That's a fashion statement.
Uh-huh.
That's very hot right now, so you're very in.
Oh, really? I'm
yes.
Fashionable?
I like fashion or clothing design specifically on textiles because it's a person's own personal theater.
Well,
how do I want to dress myself for the day?
Mm-hmm. So do you dress for yourself or do you dress for others?
I dress for myself.
Hmm.
And I'm not the most fashionably dressed person. I know how to pull it off and do it. Am I really interested? No. I just want to be comfortable.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's my statement. I'm not saying my statement needs to be anybody else's. As a fashion designer and successful in menswear, it's a very beautiful payoff to see a person put on something I've designed, and it gives them joy. They light up.
Hmm.
And that's wonderful because it's on the human form. I've made a shape. It's not the person purchasing it, seeing it that way.
I see. I came across a quote of yours in The Morning Call from 1989, which I guess attests to the fact that you have a decades-long career in fashion, don't you?
Yes.
How did that... Go ahead.
I think it started with my grandmother, who was a quilter. And her love of color and pattern. And as a very small child, I'd sit next to her while she would quilt. Then I went off into political filmmaking, which today is called propaganda. it used to be called image making. It's just bluntly propaganda. And I've traveled all over the United States when I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And after 7 years, it was just a burnout.
I see. So, well...
I segued over into studying playwriting and acting. There I learned I was dyslexic and that I didn't have any sequential order. So I can see why I like filmmaking. Nothing's in order. The editor and the director finally put it in order. And fashion design is again about production. So I went from one skillet to another skillet.
And you didn't land in the fire. Yay! Well, I came across an interesting quote of yours. It's from The Morning Call from 1989. In that article, you say, when you dress yourself, you are your own theater, character, script, and set designer. You either love the drama of dressing yourself or you don't.
Correct.
How did you acquire that love? It sounds like it started when you were a young girl with your grandmother, but how did that develop?
It then went to my mother, who was so beautiful and dressed so beautifully for a country woman. And a lot of that had to do with the church, because she went to church every Sunday with hat and gloves, a pocketbook, not a purse, a pocketbook, and the right shoes, and she sang in the choir, and it was important that you look good when you went to church. So I'd have to be dressed up and look good. But most of all, I think what got me interested in fashion is I didn't like what my mother would buy me. So she took me to Paducah, Kentucky, to a fabric store there. And that's when I fell really in love with textiles. I just couldn't believe it. It was so many beautiful fabrics.
So did you have a satin dress at one point, or like a velvet prom dress?
No, I wore little blue jeans then and a sweater.
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm sitting in couture overalls.
So comfort. It's all about comfort.
Most of all, as a sculptress, I like very much, or my art expression is form and function.
Mm-hmm.
And I think art does not need to have form and function. It just needs to have an emotional conversation with the viewer.
So how is emotion encapsulated by fashion? Is it fabric? Is it color? Is it what is it that?
Well, the first ingredient is the fabric and the color.
Mm-hmm.
You either like the fabric and you either like the color or you don't. And there's no one that's going to sway you any differently if you don't like it.
Right.
So all this marketing and all this getting your attention, it's still your decision.
Hmm. But
thank goodness.
But when you're manufacturing clothes for consumers, you're trying to figure out what they want. It's not necessarily what you want. You're trying to figure out what they want, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. But it first has to come from your philosophy, of your design philosophy.
Okay.
And that there's a market that wants that.
Hmm.
And once that market is defined, then you want to embellish that. You want to make money. Design is about form and function. Business is about making money.
Hmm.
I'm not in a studio alone making ceramic sculpture. I'm involved in a whole process, a team of people to get it out of my head to the store and someone buy it. And now it's all digital, so you go on the internet, do you want it?
Interesting. So students of your class at CMC will learn some of those digital sources of information? And
yes, we'll look at, they already know it. They already know all of those. They're all online or their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And the cell phone has become their personal computer.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So back when you decided that you were burnt out on the theater and on filmmaking, and you decided to pursue fashion design, and you went to the Fashion Institute.
Yes.
Even I have heard of that. So that's top flight, isn't it?
Well, that was quite a while back, and it's the Fashion Institute of Technology. And I personally believe that you can't teach creativity. You either have it or you don't, and you have your own personal statement about it, and then you need to get technically trained.
Okay.
So I went to the Fashion Institute of Technology to get technically trained, and I cried every day.
Uh-huh. You cried every day?
Every day.
Why?
Because I'm dyslexic, and at 29, I just learned that. And fashion is a very technical industry. And I don't read a ruler, so I had a teacher to fold up a strip of paper and fold it, and she made it three-dimensional, and then I could understand.
Wow.
And I was very blessed to have people like that.
Huh. Well, it wasn't
and much. I was also not blessed, and, you know, I didn't have teachers like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I cried, because
I see.
They just couldn't put up with my learning difference.
I see.
And that's okay.
Huh. So you had to work like twice as hard in order to,
yes,
to get
I
it.
Went to bed at 3 o'clock and was in the classroom before 8 o'clock.
Yikes.
For 1 year.
Wow.
I did 2 years in 1 year.
Huh.
There were 5,000 who applied, and they took 50 of us.
Wow. That's really impressive.
And I had no idea it was going to be so complicated.
Uh-huh. Because at that time, you didn't know that you were dyslexic.
I didn't even know 5,000 people applied. And I thought, they must be crazy to choose me.
Huh. What did they see in you, Cecilia Matheny?
I think it was my essays.
Oh.
And that forgave my drawings.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's impressive. So you came out of the Fashion Institute, what is it?
Technology, it's called FIT.
FIT. You came out of FIT, and what did you do then? How did you jump into the industry?
Well, at the end of that year, you have an interview, and the person who interviewed me said, how fast do you sew? How fast do you make a pattern? How fast can you draw? And everything was how fast. And I just looked at her and I said, I don't do anything like any of those fast. She says, well, why are you at this school? I said, because I am so creative and determined to get my technical knowledge.
So what did you do? How did you?
I went home and I was crying, and my fiance at the time walked in and said, and my three stepkids came in that were to be my stepchildren, and they said, why are you crying? And I said, because my interview, the woman said, why did I ever choose to go into fashion? I can't do anything fast. I mean, I was crying.
Wow.
And my husband said, I told you I would give you a little, I mean, my husband-to-be at that time. I'd give you some money because you've been so great helping me raise the kids. You've helped me with the kids. And I didn't ever pay any attention to him or believe him. And I said, that's not how it works. You go work for someone. He says, Cecilia, you've already been very successful in filmmaking. You're just using different tools. You're not a beginner. And he gave me something like $5,000. And I hired half of an assistant. And not literally. But she could only, I could only afford so many hours. And we put together this collection called Softwear, which means you can wear it indoors and it moves into outdoors in a casual way. So it was a big hit.
How about that?
I couldn't get in the department stores because there was no department called Softwear. There was sleepwear, loungewear, sportswear, but not softwear.
So you invented your own genre?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, it isn't like I woke up in the morning and said, I'm inventing my own genre.
Right.
It was how I felt about it. So the specialty boutiques like Wilkes Bashford in San Francisco and the really Stanley Korshak in Dallas, they just jumped up with joy about it and bought it. It wasn't a huge order, but that's what got me started.
Interesting. So you started as a freelancer, basically. You didn't join a design house.
No, I didn't go work for someone until much later on.
Was this
and
men's?
I don't advise anyone do what I did.
Why?
It's better to learn on somebody else's money.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Now, were you dealing with menswear or womenswear?
I decided to do menswear. At that time, Armani, Ferret, Moscone, a lot of these people were doing such innovative womenswear. I said, why do women's wear? The best is already out there. And I felt there was a void in men's wear. So I went after men's wear. And also, at that time, it was a more gentle kind, and probably still is today, industry.
That's interesting. You also ended up as a teacher at the Parsons School of Design, which is another thing that this rookie has heard of, even though I don't know anything about fashion. So tell me a little bit about those years.
Well, I had a good friend, and I was getting to, I said, I'm really tired of fashion, and I want to add something to my life. She said, you'd be a great teacher. I said, I don't have a master's. I don't have a PhD, thinking very academic. She says, no, but you have a world of success and experience. And she said, write them a letter. So I wrote Parsons and FIT a letter. I never heard back from FIT. And I got a call from then the dean of Parsons Fashion School. She says, I'm leaving, and there's a person coming to replace me, and I will give him your letter. And this may take 6 months. And one day I got a phone call. I went in for an interview, and within 3 minutes they said, you're hired.
Huh.
And I said, thank you for the interview, and started walking out the door because I couldn't hear they said I was hired because I wasn't an academic PhD.
Uh-huh.
And finally, it was Tim Gunn was his name, stood up and yelled, you're hired.
Boom, said, get it.
I said, oh, that's great. And it was just one class, uh-huh. You know, because they start you off small.
Right.
And I absolutely fell in love with teaching.
Huh.
The reward, the joy, and also the constant challenge I like.
Now, were you doing that in addition to designing menswear
yes,
lines?
Yes, I still, no, I went over into womenswear. I worked, well, to get myself up on course, eventually I was given textiles. And I don't have a degree in textiles. And I said, oh, I'm going to go work for the best retail store in New York. So I went and I said, I want you to hire me and I'll do anything. But I need to learn more about textiles and what the public wants. He says, you're overqualified and we can't pay you what you're worth. I said, pay me what you can pay me and please hire me. And I did that for about 6 months and taught at Parsons. At the end of 6 months, I replaced a woman who was pregnant. She came back, and I left. First of all, retail is grueling.
Mm.
I mean, it was a very humbling textile education. And I got really good at it. I started out a disaster, and I got really good at it.
I'm sorry. What does that mean that you got good at it? Tell me more.
I learned to listen better what the customer wants and try to help them get that.
Huh.
And I was afraid that the learning difference I would make mistakes. Well, everybody makes mistakes, but there's a system in the store that double checks your numbers and everything. So I was okay there. I'm not going to be hired by the bank or accounting service or someone who has to memorize something and repeat it. So it just was a great learning experience how to be a good salesperson and work with the public.
Huh. Wow. How did you end up in Carbondale?
I love it here. And last March, on the 19th, I think it was the 16th, my son called me and said, you're leaving New York. I said, And we had discussed me moving here in June, 2 months back. I said, Patrick, I can't do that. And he lives here in Carbondale. So that's what got me to Carbondale and the virus. And in 4 days, he said, you're either on an airplane or I'm coming and I'm lifting you up and I'm putting you on the airplane.
Oh, that's a good son. Yay.
He says, so there's no choice here.
Huh.
You can die there or you can come here and maybe live.